Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working in...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy Monday, new day of the week. Chuck Minow, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, brought to you by
AmericaCitizenPress.com, a conservative voice website, one we check every day, and Denver Synergenics with Dr. Julie McCallum. Hey, a lot going on. We're going to have former Congressman Tom Tancredo coming on in a second. Want to talk a lot about what I think is the most dangerous thing that's happened in a long time, and that's this corporate Zoom call where all the corporations are essentially conspiring on how to destroy
the CEOs.
Yeah, they're calling in for the masters, of course. Don't for a second think of it's about wokeness. It's about power and money and controlling and destroying the middle class. We'll talk about that. And then some more good news about the Colorado Republican Party. We were at an event Saturday, Ron McLaughlin's pro-police rally in Douglas County. And yay, for the first time ever, the Colorado Republican Party had a presence there. And so we want to talk about that. We were there too. It was a great event. The weather was great. But wanted to talk to Tom Tancredo when we get him here. He had a good column in America's Citizen Press, talking about, you know, if we try to promote it, actually, we have a hard time promoting because YouTube will ban us and Facebook will ban us and Twitter will ban us. But
it's great to live in a free country.
It is great to live in a free country. Election integrity. Okay, we got an answer machine. Okay, we can talk. I'll text. You talk while I text Tom and say, hey, we're ready for you.
All right, well, I'll just talk a little bit about the event on Saturday. Tricia Rahm is there. She's the new vice chairman of the Republican Party. We got to speak, and we promised that this isn't going to be the old George Bush, Mitt Romney one, but it's going to be a Trumpian party, a grassroots party that really does care about the average voter and not simply how to be the same old Democrat light, promising to work across the aisle and giving them whatever they want as long as the most minor and meager of throwbacks come their way. We've got to get a party that's going to fight for the people, fight for to stop all the living hell they're bringing down on us, how they're destroying the economy, oil and gas, livestock,
gun bills on the way to the governor's on the governor's desk right now. Hey, and let me just a quick note to our producer, Thomas. I think Tom is going to try calling us in. We figured that out, texting. But it was good to see everybody there. And it was good to see the Christy Burton Brown, the new chair, already has a video out talking about things. So, and talking about bills up at the legislature, the public option bill, which actually is no thanks, I think, to any Republicans because they don't have that kind of power. But the health industry has some power. So one of the things they're doing is pushing back on what would essentially make Colorado have socialized medicine. And what could go wrong with that?
Nothing
could go wrong.
It's an option. It's the option that's going to be mandatory and there won't be anything left because it'll drive everybody else out of the market.
Well, and it'll be all screwed up. I mean, that's their goal is to, if they're going to set the price, we talked about that with Patrick Neville, their goal is to destroy private health care in Colorado. And that way we would be forced to go ahead and have to have the socialized medicine. That's the only thing that they want to do. You know, and while we're waiting for Tom, too, another thing, and you've got some sound we'll play on this, some 100 CEOs had a Zoom call over the weekend. And I thought, let me steer you to the Conservative Treehouse, because they do a great job on this. They point out it's really not accurate to call these corporations, because that implies that somehow they're involved in capitalism and they like capitalism. I mean, they're not. They're anti-capitalism. Capitalism implies that there's some sort of competition involved. And as you've explained, Chuck, you know, with your experience and your family's experience with big corporations, they don't want competition. What they want to do...
No one actually does.
But I mean, they have at least the power to try to destroy competition.
Yes, yes.
And what they're doing now with their meddling, and there's no other word for it, meddling and manipulation in election laws. Do you think, number one, that they they don't particularly care, I think, who gets elected as long as it's someone they control. Right. And what I see happening there is what we think is going, what I have seen happen here in Denver, where you had giant developer corporations with the help of the massive lobby law firm, the Brownstein law firm. What they do is they essentially buy the politicians and they just buy them up front. So it's not as if they have to go through, you know, every little deal that they want to make or push through. They just go ahead and they just buy the politician up front, like with Michael Hancock. And then they control everything from there on out. They control the media when Hancock had his scandals. They basically squashed those stories. They ostracized people. I mean, they do all of that. And now they're doing it on a national scale. I mean, we've got former Congressman Tancredo, so we could get him to weigh in on. But first, hey, Tom, thank you.
How's it going, Tom?
Hi, gang. How you doing?
So I wanted to talk to you. First off, I was saying earlier, we couldn't tease it or promote it because Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter would ban us if we mentioned election. and then we would be put in Facebook prison again. But you had a
where you're already located.
Where you already live. You live there.
That's right. That's right.
But you had a really great column in America's Citizen Press saying, you know, who knew? Who knew that all of these poor minority people had all of these afflictions that make them unable to vote the way everyone else votes, which is just, it's such a bunch of nonsense. Why don't you go ahead and explain your article?
Well, sure. I mean, it grew out of the whole MLB thing initially, in that you, although it's certainly, that's just the most recent iteration of this whole phenomena of, no, we cannot require anything of a minority person when it comes to some sort of, you know, voting requirement. We can't use that because, of course, it stigmatizes, it scares them. They're afraid of it. They can't do it. They can't handle it. They're too stupid to do it. I mean, they can't go find an ID, a state ID. They can't afford a state ID, even when a state ID is, of course, given to them for free. It's all ridiculous, and everybody should know it, especially including minorities who look at, look at this and go, what the hell are they talking about? Are they really believe I can't figure out how to vote if I have to hand them my driver's license, or that I'm petrified of doing so because, of course, I have to hand that same document 100 times out to when I'm doing anything of, you know, I went to my phone provider today for a little problem I was having, and first thing I had to do was show them my ID, my driver's license, and I thought, oh God, no, not that, you know.
Well, exactly, and you know what, Tom, and there are surveys that indicate that not only most people, but even most minority people think that to show an ID to vote is a good idea. So it's
Our more recent immigrants from Mexico would be a little surprised because I went down to Mexico, lived there for a while, and monitored the elections. And hey, guess what? They have a picture in the voter poll. You have to provide identification. So somehow they figured it out down in Mexico. But once they got past the Rio Grande, it's a different story.
Yeah, Mexico, believe me, I would switch our program for theirs anytime, anytime.
Yes.
Theirs is really quite substantial. I mean, you have to surrender it, vote, go back, get it again. It's amazing the extent to
your pictures in the election
book. Who you are in Mexico.
Yeah, right. When you show up, your picture's in the book. The book, you know, Charles Bonnie will come up, I show my ID with my picture on it. Then they compare that to the picture they have of me in the voter book. Here, it's a different story, of course.
And the reality is that they don't care about that at all. The reality is once you remove having to show any kind of identification from a ballot, then anyone can use that ballot. Anyone can vote with that ballot any number of times in any number of precincts in any number of states. And that's really what they're after. And they just hide behind this. And they think that all they have to do is shout racist, racist, and we're all going to kowtow. But, I don't know, Tom, I'm hopeful. You know, people like you are writing columns, places like America's Citizen Press are printing them. We're talking about it, so we can maybe get around the whole social media prison
a little bit. But I loved your new acronym for the president. Why don't you tell everybody that?
Well, Yeah, Pinot, sure. I use that now every time I write a column in which I refer to him, because, yeah, it's instead of POTUS, you know, President of the United States, it's Pinot, which is President in name only. That's the way I perceive it, anyway.
Yeah,
so I put Pinot Biden. Yeah, it's a lot of sarcasm, and I love the fact that the American press is giving me an option to let off a little steam, because I needed it, boy. And so I'm going to write something every week for them. But I told them, I mean, that was the second one. My first one, I had a lot of fun also with it. In which I pretended to be, I was talking about the kind of questions and the way they would be asked if Trump were at the front of the room, but confronted by the same kind of problems that Biden is having. And so it was, you know, Mr. President, you fell down on the stairs. Does dementia affect your balance? Mr. President, and it goes on, about 10 questions, you know, and it keeps periodically going back to, you got a letter from 36 members of the House and Democrats, and they wanted you to surrender your control over the nuclear code. Is that because of your dementia? And it's all the things, it's all the ways it would be done if Trump were up there. And, of course, and then we talk about how what they do and how they react. So I have a lot of fun with it, otherwise it's just so frustrating. I can hardly stand listening to anything, reading anything. Now every time I read something, I think, I might
put that in my column. Well, let me ask you about these corporations weighing in, which ironically I think some of these CEOs of this meeting, and I think, let me ask you this first, sort of a anti-Mitch McConnell question. So Mitch McConnell is whining about things, and I have a certain theory, and that is Mitch McConnell doesn't really care about the corporations weighing in and meddling in things. He just wants them to pay him first to do it, and instead the corporation just kind of cutting him out and kind of doing an end run around him. But why don't you maybe briefly explain how it actually works in D.C. with these corporations who pretend like, oh, they're just woke now, and that's why they're getting involved, how it works there, and then what you think they're really up to.
Well, I think they are woke. I think that's exactly what a lot of it is. They think that that's the way they should be in order to make sure that they're, you know, pushing a certain set of buttons out there that they think their customers will like or respond to. I think that's certainly a lot of it. It's all incredibly stupid because they are so hypocritical and themselves so stupid. I will bet you anything, for instance, that few, if any, of the CEOs, Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, the MLB, actually read the bill in Georgia that they then protested. I would bet you anything they never even saw it. They don't know anything about it. They're following a narrative that they think they should be following because that's what they think, I guess, will help their sales. The fact is, in Colorado, the move to, and I mentioned this, I think, in the article last week, that talk about hypocrisy.
Yeah.
The MLB moves the game, the All-Star game, from a city that is 64% black, Atlanta, to a city that is 34% black, Denver.
And
Denver's more like 9%.
It's under 9%.
Yeah, so it's even worse than what you said.
I just should have said minority.
Okay.
If you want to include the Hispanics, you always kind of go, wait a minute. They consider 8%. We constitute 27%, although all the elective offices chosen ones are African Americans, so they go, whoa, that's a little strange.
Hypocritical. Well, go ahead.
And even the state, for one thing, the changes in the Georgia law are, I have to say, fairly insignificant, I think, in the total scheme of things.
Yes.
And so to make such a huge deal over it when Colorado has, and it's one of, you know, it is the bluest state around, blue as blue can be, and it and so, but it, but its voter registration laws are very much similar to the ones that Georgia has put in place, and so it's all so frigging hypocritical. And as I say, they don't know; they're too stupid, I think, to actually ferret it out. They don't they don't have people on their staff that can actually read it and come to them and go, no, you know, this is kind of a strange thing. We're going to be happy that we're going to be moving everything to a state and a city that is far, far less minority oriented than the city from which they came. But so now, and why they're doing it? Well, I do think it is, you know, they see in Washington a change of guard, right? But but they were there doing this to Trump, right?
Yeah.
This is not a new thing for a lot of them, this attitude of woke-ism, if that's a word. And they've been doing it, they've been moving that way for a long time. And you know what I think? I think it is a coalition has developed, and didn't develop just in the last few months. It developed over a period of years, really, between high-tech, big corporations and big government, and it is all based on a desire to control. And they see themselves sitting in those, you know, with the power elite, these corporate giants, in that same role. As because, I mean, you know, do you remember when Starbucks came out with that thing where it said, "Talk to a barista about race" or something? They wrote it on the cup as if they were going, "Oh, yes, I see this 17-year-old kid here. Let me ask him. He can probably help me figure out how I think about race." But I mean, this is all. I really believe that it's this. They're in it together. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It is a sort of a cabal of power-hungry people, and they see even in attempts. You know what? Next one of my columns soon. I'm going to write. I'm going to say, I think it's time for Republicans to come on stage and say, "Let's tax the crap out of these corporations."
Well, CEOs in particular.
Let's raise taxes to 40%. I think these bastards are getting away with way too much.
Way too much.
I mean, what do we owe?
Well, I think we ought to adopt the Elizabeth Warren wealth tax.
You
know, you just take it away from them. Forget about them earning it. She was too modest in her 1 or 2%. Take 10% of their wealth away from them every 6 months and see how much they like it.
They get around it, but it's still, you can make it a little painful.
No, if you pay less than that, then we put you in Guantanamo Bay. We'll make that a CEO prison. You know, throw out the... the Iraqis.
Let the terrorists go, because they can come anyway.
Right,
or we'll make them ship people back and forth across the Rio Grande and see how they like it. Well, you know, I don't know, Tom, I'm a little bit more conspiracy-minded than you. I agree with you that I don't think this just suddenly arose. I know the guy who they say organized it is some Yale professor, Jeffrey Sonnenfeld, and he started doing this a while ago. Now, I don't believe for a second that he's the only one behind it. Like some Yale guy goes, "I have a great idea, guys." You know, when he starts calling CEOs, I think there's something more sinister than that.
Well, there's, you know, they had the Brennan Center kind of help me out, and that's a Soros-backed group. And so all these Soros CEOs who are so woke and so special, there's no greater group of go along to get along people in the world than big corporate CEOs, people who found companies, entrepreneurs. They're hard to get along with. Have you known very many of them? But corporate CEOs, that's how they got to the top. They just go, you know, they never had a original thought in their lives normally. Hey, boss, you're doing great. Oh, now I'm the boss. Yeah, everybody said, you know, CEOs are by their very nature people who are timid. And I love how some of the people were calling in
from the masters. Georgia. In Georgia. Can you get any more hypocritical? But I think, though, that they've decided that they do not want to leave. Both they and the Democrats, they have similar goals here. They don't want to leave the election up to the voters anymore.
Hey, God, no.
And so anything that threatens fair or that threatens to make sure that there are fair elections, they want to get rid of immediately. And I think that's why they're becoming so much more forceful. And I think they're going to continue trying to crack down on us. I don't think it's going to work, though. I think. Well, it'll work. But I don't know. I mean, well, they're going to try to pressure states. And I think that's why the move to Colorado out of Georgia worked. But I think when we were in Georgia, I was telling people, we were there for last weekend for not week, this 2 weekends ago for a wedding. People in Georgia, just regular people, Uber drivers, stuff like that, they're mad at Major League Baseball saying, "What? Who are you to tell us what kind of laws we should or shouldn't have?"
Right. It's a it's an interesting, this is really an interesting phenomena, and it's an interesting one to try and analyze, because it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem to fit.
Right.
You say to yourself, you know, how morph into these really kind of semi-governmental things that are looking out for, you know, the issue of diversity and blah, 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 rather than selling, you know.
It seems to have bad connection,
Tom.
Are you close to your phone or?
Hey, you know what? It's time to kind of, Tom, hey, you're breaking up. So let me just ask you a final question then. Because I want to steer, because they're one of our sponsors, America's CitizenPress.com.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're going to start having a column in there every week?
I'm going to try. We had a couple, first week and the last one that really responded. They said, hey, you know, don't.
The woke media, Coca-Cola is trying to censor us.
Yeah.
So Tom, hey, thank you for your time.
It's great talking to you.
Good talking to you.
Everybody, once a week now, I think.
Just go to American Citizen Press.
And Tom will be there, and if not, Tom will be other good people.
All right, Tom, hey, thank you for
your time. Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye.
They're censoring. So they're waiting. Well, here's what I think. Like I said, I don't think it has anything to do with selling products, because they clearly know they're going to make people angry. And they clearly don't care if people are going to not buy Coca-Cola, or people are not going to buy, you know, Delta Airlines or go to Major League Baseball. And maybe they think they can write it out. But I think, again, the conservative treehouse, I really recommend you go there. He points out that these are not really corporations like we might think of a corporation. What they really are multinational businesses. And they look at things on a global scale. And what they are trying to do, I submit, is, even though they put it this way, it's like the make America great, you know, make America first, all of that, but the Trump people, us, right? We are kryptonite to corporations like that. They do not want to make America first. They want to make Coca-Cola first. And anything that happens that tries to benefit the American worker, benefit the American consumer, that's kryptonite to them. They want to be able to charge us.
The article does describe it well. What they basically did was transfer the wealth of America to China,
right,
and take a huge glob out of it on the way over. And that's why McKinsey and Company and all the other ones were advising all the companies to take their products to China, because they're that way China grows, those corporations grow, and the losers are the American worker and the American middle class,
right?
Which is what Trump's voting base is. And if they can't do that, then they're stuck over in China. Their transfer of wealth is coming back to middle class and workers, and they can't. And everything had to be done about that. So.
Right. And essentially, they cannot risk leaving the election anymore up to the voters. And so that's why they're interfering in, you know, in these election laws, because they want to make sure that they can control the people. Again, they don't want to. Why waste your money, on donating to a candidate when you can just sort of flat out buy the candidate up front and then make sure that the candidate gets elected, because you make sure that the system is rigged so that candidate does get elected. That's a thing you got to understand. And Steve Hilton and Fox Nation had I'm going to play a series of sound bites from him. Did a great job on this. The only thing I kind of disagree with him on, he's optimistic that consumers can fight back effectively. I'm not so sure about that. But Thomas, if we could please play the Hilton bite number one.
Which, among other anti-American horrors, unconstitutionally nationalizes elections and pushes banana republic atrocities like ballot harvesting, which replaces one person, one vote with one union activist, 500 votes. unbelievably, corporate America is lining up behind this blatantly partisan power grab. Tonight, we have a message for the woke CEOs. You think you can buy off the mob with pandering press releases while business as usual continues? Oh, no. You want to behave like Democrat politicians? Fine. That's how we'll treat you. You have no idea how painful this is going to get for your companies and for you personally.
Now, the only thing I'm not so sure about is that we're going to be able to make it painful for them. But he also talked about, again...
Well, we can if we join the progressives and say, you know, CEO pay is limited to one-fifth, five times the workers' pay or some other provisions for them. If the woke media aren't for capitalism, then why should we be for protecting their piggy bank?
Well, and here's the thing. I also suspect this is not maybe if you're the CEOs kind of trying to take over the elections in this country, it's not necessarily a Democrat Republican issue, right? What you really want are rhinos or dinos, right? You don't want the Ocasio-Cortez, you don't want the progressive Democrat wing in there either, right? You don't want Ocasio-Cortez. You don't want Bernie Sanders. You don't want Elizabeth Warren. Likewise, you don't want Donald Trump. You don't want people like Donald Trump in there. And you don't want to leave it up to people who might vote for, say, Elizabeth Warren or Ocasio-Cortez or Donald Trump. You want people who are going to vote for people like Mitch McConnell, like Mitt Romney, like people who are going to do exactly like you told them to do. And when you talk about, oh, we're going to raise corporate taxes, all that's going to happen is they're going to pass because they're going to lobby. Okay. The multinationals are going to lobby the viable legislators to make sure that whatever benefits them, whatever loophole they can get in, whatever exemption they can get in, they will. And once again, it'll be the small businesses and the middle class that's going to be screwed. Yeah. That's what they're trying to do here. So maybe you're right. Maybe the grassroots Tea Party people join forces with the progressives and we can beat them. But that's what's going on here. Because when you look at their own personal behavior and their corporate behavior, it's not woke at all. If we could play...
No, it is woke.
Well, not really. I mean, Steve Hilton did a good job kind of walking through some of the atrocities these corporations commit, their tie-ins with China. I mean,
that's what woke is. Well, it's an atrocity.
It is an atrocity. And so he talks here about the guy, Brad Smith, I think his name is, the president of Microsoft. If we could play the Hilton bite number two, please.
Brad Smith is one of the most cynical and corrupt operators in all of corporate America. For years, he's bought off criticism and regulation by bribing members of Congress, making donations. Microsoft has given over $20 million to Republicans to convince them that they're not part of big tech. But on the biggest issue, the one that matters most for America's future, Microsoft is worse than big tech. Every Republican member of Congress, every staffer, every conservative policymaker who's been wined and dined and financed by Brad Smith. Listen to this. China to view Windows code. China uses access to Microsoft source code to help plot cyber warfare. Microsoft just built a special version of Windows for China. On and on it goes, year after year after year. Microsoft, the ally of our biggest enemy, China. And now the ally of our most dangerous internal enemy, wokeism. Memo to every Republican lawmaker. Microsoft is ChinaSoft. If you work with Brad Smith and Microsoft, you're siding with the enemies of America.
And they are indeed the enemies of America. And I think with this corporate wokeness, they have declared war on the middle class and the voters of America. If you want to weigh in, go feel free. If you're on Zoom, you can just unmute yourself, turn your camera on, call in at 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. This is from Dr. Donna, and the local races are now showing this interesting possibility of the lack of voter integrity. Hopefully, Republicans can grow a pair and strengthen that backbone. And Donna is saying this too. I mean, I believe there's a bill at the Capitol to allow those who are considered disabled to vote by text statewide. That's going to be the next thing, because again, there's no integrity there. But again, I think that this CEO corporate wokeism, and they're using essentially the billions, they're combining with this handful of billionaires. You've got the big tech people, and now you've got these multinational corporations essentially moving, I believe, to take over the world. I mean, there's no other way for it. They're trying to take it over in other countries, and now they're moving to take it over here because, again, Trump was kryptonite to them, and they do not, they're going to put that little voter integrity issue in a box, seal it, cement over it, drop it in a lead case, and throw it in the deepest part of the ocean, never to emerge again. And if that means that they have to jump up and down and say, oh, we, because of Georgia's election laws, we are, of course, going to go to the Masters because we have our corporate booth there, but we're not going to let Major League Baseball play. I mean, we know Major League Baseball players had nothing to do with this. They didn't vote. It was a corporate sponsors. They're doing that to then pressure, to try to pressure Georgia to say, okay, we won't do it. And they're rewarding Colorado. There is, you know, we talk about boycotts, which I agree with Trump. That's one way we have to fight back.
Right.
If we could play, though, the Steve Hilton bite number three, I think he talks about, which I'm hopeful he's right, about fighting back. So the third sound bite, please.
A multiracial working class coalition now holds corporate America in contempt. So go ahead, boycott their brands, hound their CEOs, make their lives a misery. That's the next revolution we need.
That's true. I think it's not just against the Democrats anymore, because I think the Democrats are just these guys' puppets, don't you think?
Well, you know, who's puppet? Who knows? I mean, CEOs are, as I said, notoriously afraid animal. It's just born that way. And so they're just thinking, oh, this will protect me. So I can remain CEO for 5 years, get my $25 million, and then head to Georgia, to the island or something.
Yeah, we've got Sherry from Lakewood on the line, too. Hey, Sherry, thank you. I know you keep track of this stuff. You always monitor this stuff. What are your thoughts on the whole thing?
Well, I think it's a good idea to keep in mind Agenda 21, Agenda, 2030, and Agenda 2050, because the UN, they said we're in a race for carbon, zero carbon emissions. Biden says we're going to have zero emissions by 2050. I think the plan is they want to get rid of air travel and to shut the airports down and by 2030. And then the major ones. So there's the mindset that you guys have, a capitalism, like you provide for customers and customers then give you business and your business does good. I don't think that's their mindset.
No.
I think their mindset is this zero emissions, and then down the road as technologies increase, if they get to go the way they want to go, then you're going to have a World Economic Forum that you sign on to bring zero carbon. So if you want to work, if you want a license to operate, then you're going to have to have a social license. You're going to have to, and that's kind of like what they want to do. For you to now work, you have to be socially woke, you know, socially acceptable.
They use social media in China, I think, to monitor people's behavior, and you can go certain places or not go certain places based on your sort of social ranking, whether you're compliant or not, basically. You know, Sherry, you could be onto something, because you're right. I do understand this, that you know, these multinational corporations, they're not capitalistic. They want to kill capitalism, and they want to have a monopoly.
Well, all corporations seek.
Well, but they're in a position to do it. I mean,
well, and so is Standard Oil, and so is some of the railroads, and they'll do
it. Yeah, it's almost not like us little people anymore and our little dollars and our consumers.
Right.
We're over you guys.
Yeah.
All right, Sherry.
Thank you for calling in. Well, I think the boycott is one way to do it. The other way is just to call them on it. And I think, and again, to have some politicians who will try to stand up for it. I mean, like you said, go ahead and say, okay, we're going to raise, you know, the wealth tax. We're going to raise this. We're going to try to hurt you. And, you know, the trouble is will they have the backbone to do that? I don't know. Mitch McConnell, what do you make of his... What do you make of Mitch McConnell criticizing this? Is he just trying to warn them and say you better keep...
Then he quickly backed off. So it was kind of a hiccup.
It was a
small hiccup. because Mitch McConnell's not going to stand up to anything.
Yeah, we don't check the tip. You're shaking, you're making it seem like there's an earthquake like
well,
in Aspen.
Well,
anyway, I just think, though, that's something that we need to keep an eye on. And it is, I believe, an extremely dangerous. It was always dangerous. Like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was always trying to meddle to protect its interests, not mm-hmm. our interests. Mm-hmm. But now they're doing so openly. And again, I don't for a second believe that the whole thing was organized the past few months by some Yale professor who, like I said, I have an idea. Here's some.
Soros would have.
And George Soros and these guys, again, that where their interests lie together, then they're willing to work together. Do you want to briefly, I want to briefly talk about just this latest police shooting just for a second.
Sure, sure.
Okay. And then we can go on to the good news, the Colorado Republican Party. So there was another Minneapolis suburb, a small Minneapolis suburb, which I think is important, is a town of about 30,000 people, Brooklyn Center. A police officer shot and killed a guy. They were stopping him. It was a traffic stop. There were three officers there. I'd be curious to see what's really behind that. Usually you don't have three officers involved in a routine traffic stop. So I'm not sure. They say they were stopping him, and now this is all over. You don't deserve to die for an air freshener. That's the blue and on thing going on. And they pulled him over apparently because he had something hanging from, you know. Now I will say this. There are some small, and in Colorado this has happened, there are some small police jurisdictions where they get a lot of their money from traffic stops. And so they do indeed stop people for that kind of thing. Or they'll stop you for an infraction that in Denver or a bigger city they would never bother with. So that's possible, but I find it odd. I don't know how many police officers there are in Brooklyn Center, a town of 30,000 people, but I wouldn't think that many that there would routinely be three on a traffic stop.
You really don't want stopping people all the time. I mean, it's just, and if you want to watch an ill-trained police force, watch this particular arrest.
Yeah, we can play, and the video stutters for a second, Thomas, so give you a heads up on that, but just let it keep playing. If we could play the police shooting video. So it's hard to hear, but what happened there is they're arresting him because they stop him for a traffic infraction. Turns out he has a warrant, so they're arresting
for
him.
For what they call a gross misdemeanor, which is below a minor misdemeanor, but not enough that you go to jail for more than a year. So, it could be a lot of things.
Could be a lot of things.
But not a truly serious crime. By the way, you do not... when you're cuffing people, cuff them right next to the door with their door open. You take them either to the hood.
A lot of issues.
Or in the back of the car. And you close it. You make sure that they can't just get into their car. And then she just draws her.
She's shouting, taser, taser, taser.
And then she says, shit, I shot him. It's pathetic. It's pathetic police work. And someone's dead because of pathetic police work. You can say, well, he shouldn't try to get back in his car. And it's true, but it's just
a lot of things.
There is something strange about U.S. The less stops you have, the less incidents like this you have. And when you live in a police state, they stop you all the time.
Well, and then it results in the more rioting, looting,
the usual response.
And again, I think... it's going to be interesting that the judge in the Derek Chauvin trial, which is going on like right next door, refused to sequester the jurors, which in my experience covering trials, they almost always do. That's a massive inconvenience. Really, I think in the lawyer's mind, and the judge's mind, ups the chances for a mistrial. It's just really difficult to do. But I think that's got to, if you're them, right? I mean, that's got to, even again, it's what a mess, I guess, is all I can say. What a mess. And of course, the left is immediately jumping on it and capitalizing on it. The family of the guy who was shot has hired George Floyd's lawyer, who just got George Floyd's family $27 million. That's going to play out. And again, you're going to watch the left, you know, jump all over that.
All you can say is it ever going to change? I mean, yes, the left doesn't care. They just have their own sick agenda. But allowing a female police officer who clearly can't figure out which hand's your left hand, what you have is you have your gun on your right hand.
Yeah, I don't understand how that could have happened.
Well, I can if you're dumb enough and untrained enough and you're panicky enough. Or they don't make the two separate enough so you can automatically know what you have in your hands.
Right.
It's just altogether bad policing that'll cost, you know, the town $20 million.
Well, and the nation, too. We'll see, on that. And you know, what's horrifying is that, you know, it was a white woman and a black suspect, I guess.
And I think it's a black woman and a black suspect.
Was she black? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, but at any rate, it's going to be racist no matter what. And I just wanted to bring that up. But now let's go to good news.
Good news.
So Chuck and I were, and thank you very much to Ron McLaughlin and the guys McLaughlin and Randy Corcoran and all the guys at the Douglas County Pro Police Rally. Kind of funny. Initially, you know, Tony Spurlock, the sheriff of Douglas County, is not exactly a Tea Party grassroots favorite.
No, he, along with our friend George Bachler, was very much for the red flag law, the original red flag law.
So he was not initially, this was in Douglas County, and then Tony Spurlock was not there. Apparently he texted Randy and said his daughter-in-law was having a baby. Okay. But they'd known about this for a while. There were no Douglas County law enforcement officers there. They didn't have a booth. They didn't do anything. And so we started tweeting it. Randy, people were tweeting it and talking about it. And lo and behold, about 40 minutes into the event, maybe an hour into the event, three very nice Douglas County Sheriff Deputy showed up. And I just want to say, you know what? Good that you sent him. But you know what, Douglas County Sheriff's Department, get your act together. How hard would it have been? It was a pro-law enforcement day, for Pete's sake. You could have had a booth up there where you're giving away like little pins or something to the kids, right? I mean, how hard would that be? And what on earth is going on with you guys politically in your heads that you're going to be like, nope, we are not going to support a law enforcement appreciation day. No, no, no.
Sheriff from Weld County,
Steve Reams, was there. He should be more than the sheriff of Weld County. That's all I can say.
The new sheriff of Douglas County may be there because
John Andrews?
John Andrews.
Announced that he's going to run. And I guess Tony Spurlock, that was just one of those sort of boneheaded moves. It's like, why would you not? Maybe you don't want to go. I can see that Tony Spurlock, you're not particularly popular in that crowd. I get that. But you should at least send, you have community resource officers. That's what they do, right? That's our job to show up there. And it looks pathetic that you then show up. And the officers are very nice. It wasn't their fault. They were just doing what they were told to do. But I mean, come on, how hard could it be? But you know who did get the message about these kind of things is the Colorado Republican Party, thank God.
Yeah, they set up a booth, registration forms and everything else. About time we register a few Republicans every once in a while. And Patricia Rahm is there. Priscilla Rahm is there, and she's the new vice chairman of the Republican Party. She was great, gave a little speech, and she was just wonderful.
She was not only that, but she was working it, right?
Yeah,
she wasn't, she was out in the crowd. She took a picture with us. She took a picture with the deputies. I mean, she was working it, making sure that people knew who she was, making sure that people knew that the Republican Party cared about them. And this was the first time they've been having this event for 6 years, the first time the Republican Party showed up at it.
Right.
Like, how hard should it be for the Republican Party to show up, like, at a pro-law enforcement appreciation day thing?
It would be hard because the people that have heading the Republican Party for the last 30 years have been establishment Republicans who don't like grassroots Republicans. They don't like average men and women support law enforcement. They're much similar to those woke CEOs.
Right. They are the woke CEOs.
But Scott Gessler flamed out and lost, and there's a new group in there, and some of us are going around the state. First have to get lobbyists out of the controlling the Republican Party, and Scott Gessler was backed by all the lobbyists. So hopefully we've got rid of them, at least for the moment. Now we got to get the Democrats out of the Republican Party. They contribute millions. More was spent on the primaries by left-wing Democrats for Rhino Republicans than was ever spent to elect Republicans in the general election. So we're going around. We're going to try to get the necessary votes to get opt out. I just saw an article.
Had the Colorado Republican Party opt out of participating in the open primary, right, and hold the primary the way it used to be up until just now, the way it used to be, where you had to be a registered Republican to vote in the Republican primary.
Right.
Doesn't seem like that's that complicated.
No, and the result has been of the open primary is endless deregistration of Republicans, more and more Republicans deregistering. And so it's got to stop.
I think, though, this is a good first, because I know probably like you guys, a lot of us are like, okay, we've got this new leadership in the Colorado Republican Party, Christy Burton Brown, who we think was great. She didn't say, we wish that she would let Chuck see and the people of the Central Committee who are going to be voting, our executive committee are going to be voting on the budget to see the budget.
The Republican Party has always been run like some kind of secret cabal,
right,
where they don't share any information and they act like it's a secret club,
right?
Which is just the opposite of what they need to do,
right?
The Democrats, by the way, have every piece of information Republicans ever.
Yeah, when Christy was saying she doesn't want the Republicans or the Democrats to know the budget, I'd be kind of like, I don't think the Republicans,
yeah,
the Democrats are.
They spent millions.
Yeah, they don't care. They'll just go to Mark Zuckerberg or, Steyer or any one of their strike or any one of their multi-billionaires and say, hey, we need a few more billion in Colorado. Right. But I was pleased to see, Christy Burton Brown has put out a couple of videotapes. She is speaking out against certain legislative bills. So at least, she's putting the message out there. And that's, I think, what we need to do. And again, they talked about rebranding and messaging and blah, blah, blah. But the best thing they need to do is exactly what they did, is get out there, have a tent, wander around, shake hands with people, say, hey, hi, I'm Priscilla with the Republican Party. Can we do a selfie? I mean, that's the kind of thing that's great. That's the kind of thing that would make people say, well, maybe I should join the Republican Party.
Right.
I mean, that has a lot of impact. And I think it is huge that they were at that event, and Priscilla was, and we're going to have her on Wednesday at 3:30, by
yeah,
the way.
That's right.
She was telling us, she said, no, we're going to be doing a lot more like this, a lot more. She didn't even call it outreach, which I was glad to say. I think she was just like, we're going to be showing up at events like this.
Right.
And I don't think please don't just go to the Republican events. I hope they go to the Capitol Hill People's Fair. I mean, and stuff like that, just anywhere where there's people gathering and you can have a booth, the Republican Party should be there being friendly, answering questions, introducing themselves the same way, go figure, that the Democrats do.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was good. It was good. A lot of good speeches and a lot of good just talking to great people. And it's really a lot of fun. It's really a lot of fun. And
you keep shaking the table. Chuck, don't shake the table. It's like people, our viewers are going like this. We're going to get Chuck. Well, it is. And we'll be, and just sort of a teaser, we will all be back again. You remember it was back in the summer where they tried to do this in Denver and the Black Lives Matter people and the Antifa people stormed it. I got punched. Laurel Eimer got punched. And Randy Corbin has filed a lawsuit on behalf of a bunch of people there because the Denver police stood by and did nothing. And thank goodness the Douglas County Sheriff's Department at least did have did see the light and say, oh, maybe we should send a deputy or two over to the Police Appreciation Day.
Yeah.
One other thing I wanted to talk about. Did you have anything else you wanted to? Okay, so two pieces. This is what I said in my speech. What the legislators in Colorado and in D.C. are doing, for instance, with Biden's executive orders, is they are trying to make criminals out of law-abiding citizens who own guns.
Right.
Well, two bills that would do just that are on their way in Colorado to the governor's office.
Inevitable signing.
Yeah, absolutely, he will sign them. The one is a safe storage. So if it's determined that you have not stored your gun safely, you can be criminally charged.
Well, what it really means is you don't have access when the burglars break in. the Make Your Home Unsafe Bill is what it should be called.
Right. And then the other one is that if you don't report your gun stolen within a certain period of time,
you are also arrested.
You're a criminal. Now, if the guy who stole your gun,
he's okay.
He doesn't have to post bond. He doesn't have to get arrested. It's not an arrestable offense anymore. You know, that's a crime, but they're not going to bother arresting him under the criminal justice reform. That's another thing that they're doing, too, that we need to be aware of. And it is all, I swear to you, this is what they're after there. It's a National Gun Registry. They want to know everyone who has a gun on top of it. Exactly. So they can pass a law like Biden did that makes some kind of weird stock thing. I don't know guns that well. Suddenly illegal, right? Mm-hmm. It's like suddenly that's illegal. So I was reading some 40 million people have one. So those people with a swipe of a pen are now criminals, right? So if you've got one, you've got to let them know. And maybe there's a grandfather clause, but it's all designed.
Yeah, for one day. You get one day to register your gun. Because I owned a gun that they made illegal back in the 90s. It was legal when I purchased it, 10 days apparently to notice the federal registrar. And so then the ATF comes by and you're happy to give it to them because absent that you go to prison for 10 years. So that's what your government is doing to you and for you because they're here to help.
Well, and it's all aimed at having, I think, a national gun registry, which will then, number one, they can keep track of who you are. Because then how easy would it be to say, that Chuck Bonnywell, he was saying some scary stuff on his podcast the other day. And we look here and we see that Chuck has two guns. Well, we need to get those guns.
I have no guns.
And then, really guns. Well, but I mean, you don't have two guns. I was just making that. Yeah, that's what you would say. But then they would come in and they'd be, oh, Chuck, we also noticed your gun is not stored safely. We're going to charge you with the crime. I mean, the whole thing, when you've got gun ownership exploding because people get the fact that the government is not going to be there to take care of you. The police are not going to be there to take care of you. The criminals are getting a free ride and they're being coddled while we're being turned into criminals. People get that. So people are buying guns. So they can talk about, oh, gun this, gun that. And people are buying guns because people realize they need to protect themselves. Well, they can't have that. They can't have that. So they're going to make it this registry. Then they're going to be able to red flag you. I mean, it's on and on and on. It's all designed to, I think, number one, discourage gun ownership. And number two, to find ways to criminalize you for owning a gun. And that's just the step. And here in Colorado, they make it sound so reasonable, right? Like, well, who wouldn't want to store their gun safely? How do you argue against that? But keep in mind, that is not like anything they do. There's a big lie underneath the whole thing. That's not what the whole thing is about.
It's just going to get worse and worse and worse until we fight back enough. And I like Steve Hilton saying banana republic ballot harvesting.
Right.
One union worker, 500 votes. And that's what we have here in Colorado and particularly in Denver is just a ballot harvesting.
Well, and that's what the ballot harvesting is. And that's why the Democrats want it. But once again, trying to be optimistic, I think what is important and good is the fact that now, I mean, if 2 years ago, right, Steve Hilton, if you had talked about ballot harvesting, he wouldn't have really known what the problem was with ballot harvesting, right? Or he wouldn't even have known what it was. My computer works different than yours, Chuck.
Okay.
It's like, it works differently. And I think that, he now is talking about it. People are talking about it. They're trying to prevent us from talking about it by saying that if we do talk about it, then we're going to be banned and stuff like that. Oh, they're talking over here about emissions. So Leo saying we need more good news. Leo saying, how about a good news Monday and a party Friday? There we go. And weeping Wednesdays. No. I think that Wednesday, we won't be weeping. We'll be talking to Priscilla from the Colorado Republican Party. We'll still keep Party Fridays. And we do need to, I think that Chuck says, he always wants to say, well, what's the good news? Right. I gotta say, though, I think it's going to be very difficult to fight back against these corporations. Mm-hmm. I think that they're going to use the power of their purse to reward states that, you know, that basically pass laws that are good for them to operate in. I think it is very scary.
Oh, they don't want to operate in the United States. They want to operate in Guatemala where they don't have to obey the child labor laws. And they want to operate in the Uyghur section of China where they can get slave labor. And
which
is what a woke corporation, Nike, likes to do.
Right.
It should be shameful for an athlete to wear Nike a swish, because well, it is you just you're an endorser of slave labor.
Right.
That's what that should mean.
Well, the NBA, they don't care. They don't care. Hey, listen, that is going to wrap it up for us. Let me take this time to reminder, chuckandjulie.com. You can go there to catch our websites. We'd love to have you like and subscribe to us, particularly subscribe to us on YouTube. If you go to chuckandjulie.com, we're on every podcast, you know, iHeart, Alexa, Spotify, you name it, we're on it out there. So we would love to, Rumble as well, Rumble and Parler, would love to have you follow us wherever you want to follow us. And I'm going to give you, just in case some folks are listening and the next time they're like, hey, I want to come in on Zoom, because we didn't do a very good job reading the chat.
All right, Julie, your time is up.
Oh, my time is up. We have three minutes. Okay.
No. Thank you, and BBS Radio at the bottom. Okay. Thanks. Goodbye, everybody. We'd love to see you. Take care.
Thank you.